You're listening to the Self-Made is a Myth, Make a Difference Together show with your host, Coach Tim Campsall, where we talk with successful business owners to hear the stories of their journeys in building their successful businesses. And more importantly, we recognize the folks who help them excel because we know that achieving business success is not something we can do on our own.
Hello, everyone. This is Coach Tim Campsall, and I'm excited to have a fellow business owner from Indiana with us today. Something unique about my guest is that he loves impacting people to achieve their goals. In his downtime, he loves cooking and driving his 1962 Ford. Is it Galaxy? Galaxy 500. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that little precious baby. And he's most proud of the fact that he's helped over 1,000 business owners and 200 employees to realize a better life. It's my pleasure to welcome Jerry to the show today. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Coach Tim. It's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on the show. I'm looking forward to having our conversation today.
Well, hey, let's start with having you introduce yourself. Tell everybody your full name and a bit of your personal story, like where you were born and live, about your family and hobbies.
Thank you. Well, a little bit about me. I have worked in corporate America, kind of like you, Tim. I did that for about 23 years, which was a great lifestyle, but I saw things change. And I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I just didn't have the guts, I think, at the younger age to do that, even though I wanted to. I just didn't take the leap. And then as corporation, I had my last corporate job, and it was, the position was eliminated because they were looking to sell, as they do a lot of times. And my wife says, just go do your thing. I'm like, really? And so I started that journey about the same time you did, Tim. So, and now that I look back, now I wish I would have done it a lot sooner. It's been a great ride, and really enjoy helping small and medium-sized business. I'm really passionate about the backbone of our country. And now that you and I are one of them, you can relate to that as well. When I say I'm a foodie, I have a whole grill station. We love to go out and eat, but I really like to cook at home. And I wouldn't want to open my own restaurant, but I enjoy eating and I enjoy cooking for family and friends. I love the outdoors and gardening, hiking. I love the ocean. I love mountains and muscle cars, right? So I talked about my 1962 Ford Galaxy XL convertible. But, you know, obviously not in the winter, but, you know, it's just, it's like my land boat, right? So you get in that thing and it's just a cruiser, right? I just love the smell of it. I love the open air and just the heritage and nostalgia of and classicness of a American muscle back in 62 and kind of how things have evolved to today. When I get my technological car compared to that one, I had nothing, right? So it's pretty good. But I live with my wife, Rochelle. We've been together. We're going to be celebrating our 31st wedding anniversary. We have two beautiful children, Courtney and Zach, and we're empty nesters now, but my daughter got married last October. And then obviously we have our second rescue dog, a pit bull named Mabel, that's now our daughter in the home that we obviously take care of, that we love adorably. And obviously I love people in our community and get involved in my church and other things, but thanks for asking.
Jerry, is there a funny story that your family likes to tell about you that you'd be willing to share with us today?
Gosh, where would I start? Well, my kids found out my dad's name was Jerry. Okay. So I'm Jerry Vaughn the IV. So there was a story. My mom used to call me Little Jerry. Well, just about 2 years ago, grandma told my children that. So now my kids think it's funny to call me Little Jerry. I'm 6'1", 229 pounds. I don't know anything little about me, but obviously I told my mom, I said, really? You're going to tell them that? And now, they want to be sarcastic, like, really, Little Jerry?
Yeah, I love it. Should I put that on this video?
Yes, put that on there. They could just call me Little Jerry, because I'll know exactly where they heard it on this show.
Jerry, tell us, how did the business come about, and at what point did you have the confidence you could run your own business?
Gosh, I don't know. I think you have to have the confidence, but really the passion for what you want to do, right? So I think I've always been curious as to be a business owner. My dad owned his own TV shop, where, if you guys remember back in the day, we used to have tubes and TVs, right? So he had his own store that repaired those. You don't do that today. TVs have changed a lot. So I watched him do that. I worked for farmers. So, I worked and baled hay and, took, detasseled and took weeds out of beans and baled straw and hay. So, they're entrepreneurs doing their own thing. And obviously, farmers are very important to our food network that we all love to eat, right? But when I got the confidence after I lost my, got downsized out of my last corporate job, I said, hey, what do I want to do? But I've always dabbled into being an advisor. I've been in the insurance world a long time, for over 15 years. And I decided that I wanted to really help business owners. I've always done asset protection, cash flow management. I've always got into the weeds on those things and how to take your money and compound it. So my partner and I got together and we formed this company called J. Galt Finance Suite. And it really focuses on helping the small and medium-sized business owner, which I like to call the Main Street business owner, and really help impact them to build corporate credit on the company with their tax number instead of leveraging their personal assets and their social security number to get access to ready access capital credit by building a robust credit score on their tax number and not leveraging and separating their personal credit out of their business credit. So when we started talking about that and toying with the concept and idea, we kind of hit the streets and I went out in central Indiana and said, hey, let me go talk to a bunch of business owners, give them some education. Our idea was to go out and get 25 new members and prove the concept. And now we're over 2,000 members served. And, we're into our third year and we've got over 200 people nationwide from coast to coast in the United States serving business owners just like us.
That's fantastic. So in the beginning, Jerry, what was the thing that gave you that confidence that, hey, I'm jumping all in and we're gonna do this?
I don't think there's any way. You're either all in or you're not. I would say, if you just got one foot on the dock and one in the boat, you can't go anywhere, right? So it's either take a foot out of the boat and go on the dock, keep looking, or you take that foot off the dock and get in the boat and go sailing. So, but the passion, I know that Wall Street corporations have been getting access to money, right? You don't know of any CEO sign off on money for their company, do you?
Right.
They're not leveraging their personal assets and doing personal credit checks through the traditional methods, right? So they figured it out. That same availability is to the small and medium-sized business owner, right? Corporate cards, lines of credit, vehicles, equipment, all the things that you're doing now can all be on the company. So the owner's not what co-signing for it.
Right.
So we've developed a 7-step blueprint that's starting with step one and getting into step seven. So they're successful in doing that because it has to be done intentionally. So the confidence is watching those members grow and scale without what personal guarantees, credit checks, leveraging their homes and more to run their companies and their enterprises. So when you see that, it just continues to fuel that little pilot light,
Yeah.
Tim, that you start, and then it starts getting bigger and bigger, and then it's just like a tsunami effect. So we're really big into providing building strong relationships with boutique consultants like us. But more importantly, providing free education to business owners and some of the people that offer that, whether it's business coaches like yourself, CPA firms, accounting firms, and so forth, just to make sure that they're aware of what this solution is, because the power that it provides a small business owner to survive the storms, run their operations, and to grow and scale with confidence is really cash flow at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that gave me the confidence, just to let you
Yeah,
know.
no, that's fantastic. So, hey, share a story where someone pushed you or inspired you that you could do it, even though maybe you weren't sure that you could, and the impact that that person had on you.
Wow, that is a great one. I would say, if I would look at it, actually, I have a friend of mine that started this with me, and we were talking about it. And it's tough starting anything new because you start something like this, and everybody's like, right? I got CPAs, business owners been around for 20 years, and they're doing fine at the local bank. Never heard of this. They check in with their advisor or their accountant, and like, I've never heard of this in my life. You go to the local banks, and they go, no. We don't do anything like that. We're always going to personally guarantee it. So, you start hearing that stuff and you get salt and peppered. People ask you, hey, how long you been doing this? Oh, about 3 months. I got doing this. I'm hoping you'll be my first, right? So you start to get into your head a little bit as you start to tech. You're like, well, maybe I thought I had something and I understood it, but you're like, maybe this is too good to be true. Maybe it's something they don't really need. I thought they did, but maybe they don't. Well, then I had a buddy of mine that was actually in the business advising space and had been a CPA in his past life. And he goes, Jerry, you have something. I've been in the banking world and I turned down 90% of the loans. And what you have is the real deal and it's available. But what you're doing in the platform you have, you got to keep pushing on. You're saving marriages. He says, you're saving drug and alcohol abuse. You're saving suicides and much more and really improving your communities. And when he said that, I'm like, you know what? You're right. Right. So it was just nice to do that. And then Tim, you were another guy that got into the thing. So I will compliment you a little bit. You introduced me to the partner that I have. Wouldn't have this if it wasn't for you. So there's lots of people around you that if you, because being a entrepreneur business owner is pretty lonely. You're on an island by
yeah,
yourself,
right?
I mean, you really are. You're sitting there and it's not like the corporate world. You got a bunch of people, but it's, you're kind of doing your own thing and there's no one really cheering you on and rent's due every day, right? Coach Tim. So how do you do that? But it is, it's mindset. And then I started watching videos and surrounded myself with other entrepreneurs. And Tim and you and I did a lot of having coffees and things like that. So, and I enjoyed our relationship and I'm excited to see where you've grown your practice. And I know where we've grown our practice. And it's amazing that if you do keep focus and you keep the belief and the mindset in the right place, of course, you're going to have bad days. Of course, it's not always easy. Then you start getting competition that come into play, right? But you have to understand what you do and be able to talk through it. But it has been an inspiration. And that advisor and that CPA was a big advocate for me because I did get beat down around my third month. And he says, hey, you've got to stay in this.
Yeah.
You've got something special. Don't let someone tell you no, right?
That mindset is a big deal. It's easy to, you know, to get knocked off our game or those doubts or fears and right, little things come up and stuff happens every day in business that right was unforeseen or unpredicted and can give us that little punch in the stomach and being able to refocus our mind and go, yep, that's just part of the journey and we're going to stay focused on the end game.
Yeah. And it's hard, right? Because you get on this staircase and you're always looking up and saying, I'm still not where I need to be. And we got to think sometimes we got to look at where we've been, right? How far we've come and the success we have, not just about what we haven't got to and what we haven't achieved. So it's a really good thing to stay into that. And that plays a big part into your belief and your mindset to fuel the focus of where you need to go. Yeah. So
one of the things we have our clients do is to always look at on a weekly basis is what was the biggest win or celebration or success this week, because it's too easy to look at all the things that went wrong and forget about all the things that went right, to your point. Right? So actually writing it down and saying, okay, congratulations. That's awesome.
That's right. That's been a big, huge for me, just keeping a daily diary of the hurdles, the challenges, but more importantly, the successes. What were the wins for the week, right? What was my gratitude for the week? And I think that plays a big part into this, right? And I think working out in the morning, Tim. So I think the biggest thing I did was get up in the morning at 4:30 in the morning and go work out. It's so good for your head. So that's another thing it probably saved. I didn't do that when I worked for corporate America. I think my exercise routine was running from the airport to catch my plane, getting off the plane on my next one and going to the next thing and picking up a cheeseburger on the way, right? So now that you're in that, just keeping your mind and your body physically fit is, I think it's huge, especially if you're an entrepreneur like we are.
Jerry, what's your biggest learning as a business owner?
Biggest learning, connect and have conversations. I mean, really, I really believe that entrepreneurs are in a world and I think we're all together. It's not like a corporation. We're really in different sides of the business, but I really believe that relationships and having the right connections to fuel what you're trying to accomplish and having those accountability partners to keep you focused. I think if you need a business coach, I think everyone should have one. I mean, because they keep you focused on what your goals are and they challenge you, right? And Coach Tim, I've heard great things about you, right? You're not always there to be their friend, but you're there to keep them focused. But I really believe it's the relationships and the accountability partners that you connect with that kind of keep you in place and to make sure that you stay on course.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, hey, we know that business success doesn't happen in isolation. Right? You've talked a little bit about that already. So what's one of the biggest challenges that you faced in building your business and maybe share somebody who came alongside you and helped you through that?
Time management. Because I didn't want to tell anybody no, but what I learned a lot in just exercise. And I will say, I've been to some of your workshops. You do a great job of building things, but I had someone else tell me that you've got to say no to a lot more things than you say yes to. If it's not focused on where you're headed, you can get sucked up in time. I mean, 24 hours in a day, and then you get 16 hours if you sleep 8 hours. But what are you doing in those 8 hours a day? And if you get really focused and you're specific on working backwards in your goals, but really it's time management. I was horrible at it because I wanted to talk to everybody. I wanted to meet with everybody. And you don't want to say no to everybody because you want to be nice because you think, hey, I'm an entrepreneur on an island. So I don't want to tell anybody no because that'll give me a bad image. And it's not the case at all. There's ways to do it. And a gentleman told me that. He said, you're going to have to say no and not take your meetings on everything that you do unless it's focused on what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to accomplish and the mission that you set for you and your company. And I thought that was kind of a light bulb moment for me because I was meeting with everybody.
Sure.
I was going to every network meeting. I mean, Tim, well, you and I saw each other how many times a week?
Right? Yeah.
Now we're not seeing each other any at all because we've got other people doing it, right? But in the beginning, I think it's necessary. But as you grow and scale and get on the business and not in the everyday to day, I think it's important to focus on the right things and say no on the things that are the wrong things.
And you mentioned this a little bit, but part of that is having clarity of what the goals are, right? Though if my long-term goal is to go right and I'm saying yes to a bunch of things that are taking me left, right?
Right.
It's once we know that we're supposed to be going right, it's easy to say no to the things on the left. But if we haven't got that long-term vision, right, is then, well, I'm not sure, so I'm just going to say yes to everything. Yeah. So.
That's so true because it's easy to get distracted. If you look at today's world, we have more time. We have the technology and resources to make us highly efficient. It's not like the 1930s and 40s. You remember in farming, right? Horses, those pole things. I mean, think about how technology and medical, I mean, there's a lot of things available to us, but there's a lot of things to distract us from it, right? I mean, how many people spend on social media, Netflix, 8.2 hours a day?
Right.
That's 40 hours a week, Tim. And what does that really do to help you achieve the mission and what you're trying to strive for in your life? But those are the distractions that are in front of us, and you've got to understand those. I love that. I think you have to know what the goals are, but you also have to know what those double vortex things are that's keeping you away from achieving the goals too. Because if
Yes.
you don't recognize those and fire them or eliminate them, it can
Yes.
take you way off course.
We had a client that one of the exercises we have them do is a time study, which is over a 2 week period, just every half hour track what you're doing. And this person came back and said, Tim, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I'm spending 7 hours a week on my cell phone. And it starts with, something legitimate, right? A business, something or other, but then and this is during work hours. Then I shift over into the news or social media or Amazon. And, it's 5 minutes here and it was 10 minutes there. So it doesn't seem like a big deal. But then they tracked it and it was 7 hours. So automatically they got 7 hours back to work on the business just by turning their phone upside down and right and not using it during work time.
So that was the guy that was working 10, 12-hour days.
Right. Yeah. Right.
What everybody says. I put 8 hours a
Said, hey, I
week
don't have time to work on my business, right? It's like, yep, well, now we just found you 7 hours.
Well, I can definitely relate to that because I was the same one. I mean, you get on it, you get on LinkedIn, you get on all the social media platforms, and you get sucked into that. And then once you get on it, then you read the next thing, something pops up, and you're like, what is that? And the next thing you know, like, oh my gosh, it's been 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But
Hey,
that's
Jerry,
one of
I'm going to
the
put you on the spot here a little bit and
Yeah.
ask you to pick three people in your business owner journey that you're most grateful for them being there to help with your business's growth. Who are those three people and how they help you?
Oh my gosh. My wife, Rochelle. She's in my home and she has that. I'm gonna lift it up that God gave me the opportunity and the talent to go out and lead teams and have conversations. And then the third person that I would put on this is I guess my partner, because I couldn't have done it without him, Cole. If it wasn't for those three, because obviously I'm a believer and I believe that God puts things in front of us to give us the ability to dream, and it's our job to figure out how we're going to achieve it. But my wife's been a great champion and an inspiration on driving me to make sure that I'm better at what I do every week. So that's who I'd give accolades to.
And you mentioned it earlier, but the first couple years of owning a business can be tough. So having that rock and that support at home, right? The one who keeps speaking, positiveness into us and lifting us up and telling us that we got it and that it's going to work itself out. It's huge.
Yeah, it really is. Because if you have someone that doesn't support you, which I work with a lot of other business owners, and they don't get that same support, it's crazy to go out and try to do this on your own and then come home and just don't have the support and someone picking at you. So it doesn't make it an easy ride, does it?
No, and again, you said it earlier, but it's lonely at the top. So having nobody in the business that we can talk to and then not having the support at home can be very,
It
very
can't.
overwhelming.
Yes, it doesn't make it fun.
Jerry, as we think about the next 1 to 3 years, what is your number one priority or challenge that you see in achieving your business goals?
Man, my number one goal and challenge is probably similar. It's how do you duplicate and how do you take this system and make it something where you can duplicate? Because if it's not a duplicatable business that has to be done by me, because we all think that no one can do it better than us. But if you can't build a system that's duplicatable, then you don't have a business, right? So that's my goal and my challenge, right? Because you got to be ever evolving to get that done. But I would say just creating a system where everyone else can do it, and then you can tweak it and run it. That's the goal and the challenge that I have in front of me the next 1 to 3 years.
We were just talking about that on our management training program this morning, where we were talking the difference between delegating and abdication. And the delegating means that we have a proven process that's written out that we can, share with somebody else. Then we train them how to do it, and then we have regular follow-ups to make sure that they're implementing the process. Versus abdication is, hey, can you do this for me? And you just dump it on their plate. And almost always what ends up happening is the business owner says, yep, I tried delegating that to someone else and they just can't do it as good as me. And so it's like, well, did you do the things that
Because
Jim,
we started the business, right, Tim?
right? And then as you were just talking about, right, the way to actually delegate is you've got to have those processes and procedures in place so that you can set somebody else up for success. And there is I love that stance, right? There's this thing that we call superheroitis, right?
Yeah.
Where the business owner, right, can get stuck in that mindset of, well, I am the only one that can do this. Well, you're going to be limited, right, in terms of how much the business can grow because it can't grow beyond you until you're ready to train other people how to do it.
That's right. I mean, just finding good people that fit your culture, that understand and believe in the mission that you're on, and then hire smart people and let them go do it. There's so many leaders that want to micromanage people. I don't know about you, Tim, but nobody wants to be micromanaged, right? So you hire them, you let them go figure things out, you get the job done, and let them make their mistakes and let them be free and be a transformational leader. Because if you have to be in the day-to-day and you take a 30-day hiatus, and the business goes backwards, you don't have a company. So you need to be able to leave for 2 months and come back, and the company's still doing what it needs to do. And there's processes and systems and duplication, but it's the right people and giving the autonomy to go out and do the things inside of your business to take it and continue to have it grow and be successful.
We actually we frown upon people using that term micromanager because the reality is every new employee needs to be micromanaged until they're delivering results. And then right. Once and but that requires, like you said earlier, that requires us to have the processes and the procedures and the training, right, all in place to set them up for success, to manage. So we actually change the terminology and say everybody just needs to be managed to results. And as they show that they can deliver results, they need less and less management, right?
That's exactly right.
If
I
they're
mean, I
not
say you can
delivering
manage
results,
people, you can manage processes, and you have to have those and understand them and make them where they're understood and they're duplicatable and they see it, set the expectations, and then let them roll, right? Like you said.
And again,
Yep.
it goes back to what you were saying, right? Just the difference between great managers understand, right, that they need all of those things in place to set their team up for success. Bad managers will either, do the abdication of, hey, sink or swim, good luck, or, right, or they'll be in the weeds all the time. So
That's right.
I love what you're saying, right? It's the right balance of, okay, we've got this thing that's working. Now, how do we make it repeatable and scalable by getting awesome people involved and following a great process? Yeah. I'm
Yeah, people
excited.
like to
That
be
sounds
part of.
fun.
Yeah, it does. It is a lot of fun. You always have your hiccups. You're always going to have your hurdles. You're always going to have those that don't make it. But for the most part, it's about where you start, how you communicate it, how you set it up, and the expectations you set. And then you have the processes to coach them to what they need to do until they figure it out on their own. To you're saying, it's got to be performance-based, because if it's not, nothing else matters. However, when they come in, how they get it done, what they do, how they do it, what they say, it doesn't matter. If you have a duplicatable system, it doesn't matter who's doing it or what their personality is, but they've got to understand it, and you've got to build around them. And if you do that, I really believe you take great care of your family in your company, they'll take great care of the business outside of that.
And you mentioned culture earlier, that that's the key, right? If we've all had experiences where we've had somebody who wasn't a good cultural fit and the dysfunction that that caused. So the term hire slow and fire fast, right? Make sure that we're taking the time to bring on the right people who are a strong cultural fit. And if we realize we made a mistake, don't delay, get rid of that person and admit that you made a mistake and go back and find the right person.
That's exactly right. 100% agree.
Hey, Jerry, last question here. Jim Rohn, who's an awesome business guru, says that
Love him.
we become the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. So as you reflect on that, what advice would you have for business owners who are more head down and just trying to do it on their own?
Don't do that. I think we all start that way, though, right? I think we do. We're vulnerable. And what I mean by that is, you don't want to fail and put yourself out there and you don't know what you're doing. But I think it's so important to surround you with five people, right? It doesn't have to be in your industry. They're not competitors. They're just others that are successful around you. Business coaches, advisors, people that understand business that have been there, had the experience to get there. When you connect yourself with those type of people, and you have to find them, right? They're just not sitting there. But I think for the most part, when you surround yourself with the right people, there's accountability, there's help, they fuel you, and they help you solve issues, because you don't know how to do this. So if you just got into business, it's not easy. I always say it's easy to be successful, but it's also easy not to be successful. And I think when you surround yourself with the right people, that means people that are already successful. I think success breeds success. So that's how I'd answer that question.
A few people that I've had this conversation with are reluctant to reach out to others, to successful people and ask them to meet for coffee or to bounce some ideas off them. So what would you tell those people who are like, hey, I don't want to bother other folks?
I think what you'll find is, when you find successful entrepreneurs like us, Tim, we want to help. We've been there. Don't let your ego or vulnerability say, I don't want to ask for that, because what if I get rejected? You won't. You'll find, I mean, I try to interview, and go to lunch with a couple successful CEOs every year here in Indianapolis on purpose. Why? Because they share, they want to, and they usually buy me lunch. I invite them to lunch and they won't let me pay, right? So, because they want to help, they have things to share. If you're successful, you want to help others succeed just like you've learned. And they'll tell you the wrong things, or the time management, or the things that get in your way, and what's most important, and how to build culture, and how to build accountability, and how to be on the business by building a duplicatable system and not trying to do everything on your own. Because you can do that for a little bit, but eventually you get it right about there, and then I mean, we understand that, right, Tim? You're like, I don't understand what's going on. I can't do any further than this. And how do you get outside of that? And that's where I would tell you, don't do that to yourself. They want to help you. And the only way you're going to succeed, sure, you can do that and try to figure it out. But what if you don't have that roadway, that runway? It runs out and you can't get the plane in the air. Then you're crashing. And that's not comfortable, right? So don't do that to yourself. Get involved with someone, get a business coach, do something where someone can give you the foundations. Because if you don't, some of us get lucky, but I'm telling you, it's a very small percentage.
Yeah, for folks listening, the The easy way to look at has the business outgrown you or your capacity is to look at has your revenue plateaued, right? So if most successful business owners, in the first couple of years they're figuring it out, and then their revenue will take a big growth spurt over a couple of years, and then it flattens out when the business, it can't grow beyond the owner's capacity. So either you stay at that plateaued level, or you put the systems and processes and team in place that Jerry's been talking about so that you enable the business to grow beyond you. And talking to other people, they'll share those stories with you. As Jerry said, like, most successful business owners want to pay it forward because they were there, right? They had that, somebody helped them when they were stuck and had questions. And so they're going to be willing to pay it forward and bless you with their time. So don't be afraid. Reach out to them.
That's right. And time, you just said it, right? That's the biggest thing why I became an entrepreneur, because I want more time, right? And if you're just doing it by yourself in the capacity that you're talking about, Coach Tim, you'll never have time because you have to do it all. And when you're doing it all, you're going to get to a burnout phase where you're going to peel back a little bit. So don't do it, because if you're wanting the time, you got to spend the time with the right people.
Yep. And I know you did this as well, that the thing that my first step that helped me tremendously was hiring a virtual assistant and taking all the $15 and $20 and $25 an hour responsibilities off of my plate and having her do it better than I could because she's focusing on it and I wasn't. So it's been huge. And I know you've recently done the same thing, right?
I did. I have someone that's taken great care of me, because it's still a little nerve-wracking, but I hired an executive assistant, Lorraine, and she is godsend to me, right? So now I can do other things because she's able to do all those little things that we think we need to control. But it's amazing when you let those things go with the right people. Just allows you to be on it and not in it all the time. And it just fuels what you've accomplished. And that's where the duplication comes in to build the processes and things you need to continue to grow and thrive. And that's where it gets really fun, to watch your enterprise
Yeah.
really do things on its own without you, the owner.
Indeed. I hear people say, "Well, Tim, I don't have the time to train the person." So my simple advice for everyone listening is the next thing that you do that you know that you shouldn't be doing, that you should give to someone else, then if you have two screens, on one screen, have a blank piece of paper that says the process. And as you're doing it on your other screen, take screenshots and put it over on the other page and write out what you just did. Or there's software that can record your screen as you're doing it, and you can talk over it to give instructions. So that's a couple of easy ways to train other people by just recording it while you're doing it, because you have to do it anyway.
That's right. It's a great point.
So, hey, Jerry, sounds like you've been blessed with some incredible people who have been part of helping you in your business owner journey. If they were all here on the show today, what would you want to say to them?
I want to say thank you very much for blessing my life, for being in the crusade with me, to believing in the mission and entrusting me as an individual to be able to bless myself and others and them. So, can't thank them enough for, the passion, the hard work, the support, and just the focus to be in the, and it really is, it's a mission-driven thing. It's because that's what fuels it. The money comes after. If you don't love what you do and you don't believe in the mission, you're chasing money. I think eventually that's burnout, right? So that's all I would say. I thank the people that trusted and believed in the vision and the mission of what we're doing. And we've developed a whole crusading culture and a family environment with what we've done. And we're actually building a family of like-minded business owners on the outside of that, which is really cool to see.
That's awesome. Jerry,
But
I
thank you
remember
as
when.
well.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Made is a Myth show. Please help spread this movement by liking and subscribing to our show and following us on Facebook and LinkedIn. To join our movement, go to bemadtogether.com. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Please pay it forward and be sure to tune in next time to the Self-Made is a Myth podcast.